produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Tuesday, February 19th, and it's 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Get involved with the cannabis civil rights movement and join us here at Normal. You can learn everything you need to know at norml.org. And welcome back to the Stash. Like I said, it's Tuesday, and we're glad to have you here for our Government at Work Day here on the podcast. And coming up after the news, we talk with Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano about some good bills coming up in Vermont and Illinois, and a bad one coming up in Maryland. Then we have some Scottish funk. Yes, there is such a thing as Scottish funk, if you remember the Average White Band, with music from Disciples of Planet Earth, with their song, Let's Get High. Then it's on to my interview with civil rights attorney Bill Rittenberg on drug testing and driving. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. This is your Daily Audio Stash.
Hi, I'm Rick Steves, and you're enjoying Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Please take a moment right now to support this organization by donating online.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Marijuana-based drug reduces fibromyalgia pain, study suggests. From Science Daily, patients with fibromyalgia treated with a synthetic form of marijuana, nabilone, showed significant reductions in pain and anxiety in a first-of-its-kind study published in the Journal of Pain. Fibromyalgia syndrome has no cure, is difficult to diagnose, and effective pain management strategies are a must to help patients cope with the disease. An estimated 12 million Americans have fibromyalgia, which is characterized by widespread muscle and joint pain and a myriad of other symptoms. The condition is far more prevalent in women, and the incidence increases with age, reaching 7% among women 65 and older. 40 subjects were selected for the nabilone trial, conducted by researchers at the University of Manitoba Rehabilitation Hospital. They were divided into nabilone and placebo groups and were treated for 4 weeks. The authors noted that this was the first randomized, controlled access trial to evaluate nabilone for pain reduction and quality of life improvement in fibromyalgia patients. Nabilone is one of two oral marijuana-based compounds, known as cannabinoids, available in Canada, and is approved for treatment of nausea and vomiting during chemotherapy. Results of the Manitoba study showed the nabilone group had significant reductions in pain and anxiety, measured by comparisons with baseline scores on the Visual Analog Scale for Pain, the Fibromyalgia Impact Questionnaire, and the FIQ Anxiety Score. From the data, the study concluded nabilone has significant benefits for pain relief and functional improvement in fibromyalgia patients. Although the improvement was significant, none of the nabilone-treated subjects had complete relief of their fibromyalgia symptoms. The drug was well tolerated by treated patients, which the authors characterized as reassuring, since fibromyalgia patients are sensitive to most medications and have difficulty tolerating side effects. The downside, however, is cost. In Canada, nabilone would cost about $4,000 for a year's supply. The authors believe their findings warrant consideration of nabilone as an adjunct to current medical management of fibromyalgia. $4,000 a year for synthetic marijuana? How many plants could one grow with $4,000 to spend on light and equipment? Now, there's no doubt about the efficacy of marijuana for treatment of fibromyalgia. I personally know about 3 or 4 patients here in the state of Oregon who use medical marijuana for treatment of their fibromyalgia. It's kind of significant to notice here how the medical community reacts when the marijuana is processed and put into some sort of form that can be copyrighted, patented, and barcoded, but they still resist testing the raw medicine. Marijuana decriminalization vote in New Hampshire. A vote is expected later today on House Bill 1623, a bill reducing penalties for possessing less than 1/4 ounce of marijuana from a Class A misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of up to $2,000 or up to a year in jail, to a violation, punishable by a $200 fine. House Bill 1623 is currently being considered by the Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. The subcommittee met last Thursday, and the bill emerged from the subcommittee on a 3-to-1 vote with a recommendation of ought to pass. Next, the whole committee of 20 representatives will vote on the bill in an executive session today, or perhaps Wednesday or Thursday. From there, the bill goes to the floor with a recommendation of ought to pass or inexpedient to legislate from the full Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee. This recommendation will carry a lot of weight with a full House of 400 reps, so we are very focused on earning a positive recommendation from the committee. We are optimistic about our prospects of earning an ought to pass from the committee, but the vote may be very close. It would certainly help for these representatives to hear from you, especially if you live in one of their districts. Contact info for the 20 representatives on the committee can be found at nhcommonsense.org, or check the stash. We will have a link to nhcommonsense.org on our blog. California Cannabis Hemp and Health Initiative announced, Santa Barbara, California. A group is formed in Santa Barbara to put an initiative on the November ballot that would legalize cannabis for industrial and nutritional products, medicinal preparations, and for recreational and euphoric use. The group announced the California Cannabis Hemp and Health Initiative campaign on Friday at a press conference on the steps of Santa Barbara City Hall. The initiative would also include clearing all criminal records for people involved in nonviolent cannabis, hemp, and marijuana offenses. The group, headed by Jack Herrer, argues that not only does cannabis serve as a medicine to the many sick in California, but that cannabis is the only way to reverse the greenhouse effect and can be used as paper, fiber, and food as well. The U.S. government, they say, is hiding these facts. "I can know about cotton, flax, and nylon," said Herrer at a press conference, "but there's not a word of hemp in the schools." Herrer, who ran for president of the United States twice as a member of the Grassroots Party, said that for 5,000 to 6,000 years, 60 to 80% of the world's production of fuel and clothing was made from hemp. The group is hoping that the dialogue will begin to introduce the idea that a hemp cultivation program can eliminate greenhouse gases while replenishing the atmosphere and replacing fossil fuels with hemp biofuels. For the Santa Barbara-based efforts to get the legalization initiative on the California ballot, valid signatures from roughly 434,000 people are needed. The group is also looking to bring the discussion to Congress this summer via the Government Oversight Domestic Policy Subcommittee, which is chaired by former presidential candidate Representative Dennis Kucinich, Democrat of Ohio, a supporter of marijuana decriminalization. A discussion and debate on the ballot initiative will take place on Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. at the Santa Barbara Public Library's Faulkner Gallery. Well, we wish good luck to Jack Herrer and all the good activists out there in California attempting to pass this legalization measure. You know, we get a lot of these measures for lowest priority and decriminalization, and we need to have someone going forth with the full-scale legalization measures to help push things in the right direction. Whether or not this manages to pass or even get on the ballot in California is irrelevant. It's the furthering of the discussion that's important. All right, as usual, Tuesday is our government at work day, and of course the government is at work down in New Hampshire, like we had mentioned on yesterday's Stash, how they're voting today on their decrim bill in New Hampshire. But to talk about some of the other states that are having bills that we need to pay attention to, we bring back our deputy director from Normal, Paul Armentano. Paul, welcome back to the Stash.
Nice to be here, Chris.
So, yeah, we're all very happy about New Hampshire's bill moving forward. I understand there's also in nearby neighboring Vermont a bill that we need to look at for decriminalization.
Vermont's decriminalization bill just last week passed the Senate, and it was a very strong vote in favor of that bill, which would decriminalize possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana. The bill is now on to the House, where it does face a stiff battle. But, you know, we are certainly hopeful that the House, like the Senate, is going to move forward on this measure, and hopefully then it will be a matter of convincing the governor.
Absolutely. And we'll find out from our people out in Vermont exactly what the situation is there and how our listeners can get involved and help push that bill through. Also, there are some bills we're looking at in Illinois that have just recently been put in front of the legislature there, one for medical marijuana and a couple of others. We'll be also talking to some people in Illinois about that. But the one I definitely wanted to get to here, just to give an idea to our listeners, just how crazy it's getting out there with some of the reefer madness, has to do with a bill that they've introduced in Maryland. Tell our listeners about that one.
Sure. Well, as many people know, we don't always only track and only encourage people to get involved in pro-marijuana law reform legislation. We also sometimes encourage our members to get active in defeating particularly poor proposals that are introduced. And this bill in Maryland is one of those. It's House Bill 191. And what this bill seeks to do is to drug test all individuals under age 21 who are applying for their driver's license. And as the bill is currently written, it would mandate that all applicants submit to either a breathalyzer test or a blood test looking for drugs or drug metabolites or both. And individuals who fail this test, they will, for 6 months, not be able to drive or reapply for their license. And like I said, as the bill's written, anyone age 16 to 21 would be subject to these provisions.
Well, that's a good thing, because no one takes drugs after age 21, right?
Of course. A drug-free child will be a lifelong drug-free adult.
That's right. So just people, just young people, age 16 to 21, having to take a drug test just to get their driver's licenses. Now, that smacks to me of possibly being unconstitutional.
It smacks that way to me, too. You know, several years ago, there was talk at the federal level of trying to implement some sort of drug testing provision and tying it to young people's driver's license applications. That measure, fortunately, went nowhere. And it's really surprising to see Maryland try to resurrect this very unpopular provision. What really strikes me as odd in this measure is that they are asking applicants to submit to a blood test. And when you look at the history of the courts in drug testing, you can consistently find that the courts have ruled that a blood test is highly invasive. And what that means is that they will only allow individuals to be coerced to take a blood test if there is strong probable cause that these people have recently used drugs. I don't think simply being a teenager is going to count as a justified or legitimate probable cause in the court's eye. So, you know, on that alone, I do think this measure, if it were to pass and if it was challenged, would be struck down.
Absolutely. Well, we'll follow up on that on the Stash blog. Check it out at stash.normal.org. We'll have links to the bill and links out there to help you fight against this bill. Because Paul's right, it's not just about supporting good legislation. Oftentimes, it's fighting a rearguard action against bad legislation. Well, thank you, Paul, for being with us on the Stash again today.
No problem, Russ. Good to be here.
All right. Thank you very much. Paul Armentano, the Deputy Director of Normal, with us every week here on our Government at Work segment.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Normal podcast.
Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. It's time for our music segment once again, and our DJ Podsafe, Cannabis Carrie, has come up with some great funky music from Scotland. Yes, funky music from Scotland, absolutely. Everybody remembers the Average White Band with their hit Pick Up the Pieces. Those Scottish boys are pretty funky. And so today's hit comes to us from our friends across the big pond. Proving that our community is global, this Scottish band, Disciples of Panic Earth, or D-O-P-E, bring us some funky music to add to your daily session. With influences like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Cypress Hill, the dope sound sounds like a cross between Widespread Panic and the Beastie Boys. The Disciples of Panic Earth are a fellowship of musicians, providing a fresh blend of organic hip-hop combined with hints of funk, rock, and electronica. No hip-hop blend band would be complete without some groovy monikered artists, and dope does not disappoint. With MC Solar Eye, G Rilla on guitar and vocals, Switch Doctor on bass, Default as their samplist and vocalist, and Sammy Botanical on percussion and vocals. Give the Disciples a spin at your next party, and check them out at music.podshow.com. We'll have links to this artist and downloads and more up on our blog at stash.normal.org. This is the Disciples of Panic Earth and their song, Let's Get High.
Everybody get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody at the prefix to get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody get funky. Everybody at the prefix to get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody at the prefix to get down. Everybody get. Everybody get.
One day you're a contradiction.
Yep.
Another example of truth being stranger than affection. We could call it an infraction. Or simply drug addiction. Would somebody please explain to me why I rise 5 days a week, stretch and exercise? Live mighty healthy, strive to be wise, and spend the other 2 days in the days getting high. Highs and lows like I'm riding in the back of a Dapna Dokus with a bag of hocus pocus. Yes, I smoke this, try to focus. I crack you with my fist and wreck the hair plant like a locust. Da-da. Machine. Comes the time you try to cut me in the drug taking sick. Like that set you one finished if it's late, we might. Going straight, being healthy, not believing the hype. For real, I'm quitting after this, tell them one more crack pipe.
Everybody get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody at the prefix to get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody get down. Everybody get funky. Everybody get funky. Everybody at the prefix to get down.
pills when I went up the hill. So I drank like a pail of water. Took a look around as I was coming down. Popped two more and shit just got hotter. Plus, chisels and rushes from the mushies. Jeez, please, not more ease. My jaw started to seize and I'm shaking. Look at the Parkinson's disease. Yeah, my friends are long gone, but I don't really miss them. I hardly notice the count of all the chemicals in my system. Another ten of beef as daybreak draws near. Starting to get the fear, my chest constricts like a pipe.
Everybody.
I'm confused, my brain is chemically abused, and I'm dazed and I hate from all the drugs that I've used. But I must say, I'm not the only one, the whole country's getting higher, so it seems to me, son. Now I'm brain damaged with oxygen starvation, and I can't figure out the simplest equation, and that equates to a bad situation, cause there's no way I'm ending up a mental patient. My intelligent quotient drops 5 points every weekend, that's genius to brain dead, from your year to year's end. So when I realise I might be time to cut back, chill out and live life some and relax. Cause accidents happen without warning, and it never seems worth it in the cold light of morning.
Marijuana is completely prohibited by our federal government, but the laws and punishments for the cultivation, possession, and use of the relatively harmless cannabis plant vary from state to state. Normal Daily Audio Stash turns to the finest legal minds in cannabis law to give you the chance to ask an attorney. Send your questions to stash@normal.org. Normal's Ask an Attorney is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended to replace the advice of your own personal attorney. For a referral from our Normal Legal Committee and to learn more about the laws in your state, please visit normal.org. All right, we're very happy to hear it, to have one of the charter members of the Normal Legal Committee with us, Mr. Bill Rittenberg from New Orleans, Louisiana, who's a civil rights attorney who's also argued many cases at the appellate level regarding drug testing and marijuana. So, Mr. Rittenberg, thank you for being here on the Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you, Russ. It's a pleasure to be on.
I kind of wanted to talk a little bit because we have so many of these states, both in the medical marijuana states and the non-medical states, where the issue of impairment has come up, whether we're talking about impairment behind the wheel as a driver or impairment at the workplace. And usually, typically, the way they try to determine impairment is through a urine screen. Explain to our listeners just why that is a ridiculous way to test for impairment.
Well, it's ridiculous, number one, because it doesn't test for impairment, and it's grossly unfair in that it targets the least harmful drugs and it misses the most harmful drugs. For example, you can smoke marijuana and be free of it, not smoke it for close to a month, and flunk a urine test. You can go get drunk on Saturday night and pass an alcohol test Sunday night, or you can use cocaine on Friday night and pass a cocaine test on on Monday, because cocaine and alcohol don't stay in your body very long, and marijuana can be in your fatty cells that will test positive on a urine sample up to a month later, when obviously you're not impaired because you may have smoked the joint a few weeks ago.
So why do all these people who are looking to control driving or hazardous workplaces, why do they look toward urine testing? Aren't there any other methods of determining impairment?
Yes. There's good management skills, for one. I mean, one of the worst problems about urine testing is a management tool, is that if a person is acting impaired, you don't need to give them a urine test. If a person is not performing properly, if they're properly supervised, they're going to get caught. And this, in effect, is a cheap substitute for a good management and good supervision. And on the other hand, if someone can occasionally smoke marijuana or regularly smokes marijuana for medical reasons, they may not be impaired at all. And they may have fine judgment and work fine on the workplace. It's two things in my view. One, it's an easy way out from people that don't understand the differences between marijuana and cocaine and heroin. And two, maybe on a philosophical level, it seems like a few hundred years ago, the Europeans got rid of all of the Puritans in Great Britain and on the European continent, and they gave them all to the United States, and we still live with them. And there's a lot of people out there that are very upset that somebody actually might be smiling.
The haunting feeling that someone out there might be having a good time.
Exactly.
Yes. Exactly. So with all of this, you know, all of the scaremongering that goes on around, especially the driving issue, there's been a concerted public effort to crack down on drunk driving and impaired driving in those situations. What other alternate methods might police be persuaded to use rather than depending on some sort of urine screen?
Well, you know, you brought up a good point when you talked about drunk driving, alcohol impaired driving. Even there, the test is gross and inaccurate, because we test the percentage of alcohol in someone's blood as to whether or not they're impaired. And in most states, it's something around 0.08%, and we say that that's drunk driving while drunk. However, if someone is a regular drinker and drinks half a bottle a day of scotch, say, or a bottle a day of scotch, and they've only had two drinks, they're probably less impaired than someone who doesn't drink, who goes out and has two drinks and gets into a car. I'd be much more afraid of the person that doesn't drink and just had a couple of drinks. The way, if you want to stop impaired driving, you train police to pull over cars that are guilty of reckless driving. And some of those people are going to be impaired because of an alcohol problem. Some of these people are going to be impaired for a mental problem. Some of these people may just be bad drivers, but all of them should be taken off the road. And just because you haven't drank or smoked or shot up doesn't mean that you're not a danger on the highway. And I would much rather see law enforcement go after people that are weaving in and out and rather than setting up roadblocks near bars and following people when they leave a bar.
Well, speaking of the bodily composition here, the chemical composition of a person's blood, there is some talk about using a blood test to determine marijuana impairment, a certain number of nanograms per milliliter, with regard to the marijuana and the marijuana metabolites. Would that be just as an unfair way to predict impairment as what you mentioned with the alcohol and the body weight?
I would think so. If your motor skills are working fine, if you're driving fine, it doesn't bother me whether you smoke a joint. Although it's certainly advisable that no one drive after they've ingested any kind of mind-altering drug. I mean, and we certainly want to. I'm not opposed to outlawing that. What I am opposed to is focusing on the person that, as I said, who might have smoked a joint a couple of weeks ago might have a medical prescription for smoking marijuana, and not going after the people that are really impaired. It seems like all of our drug war has really focused on the more minor drug, marijuana, and the most dangerous drug, more than crack cocaine, is alcohol. And we don't seem to focus on that nearly as much.
Absolutely. And one of the things that, and you brought this up as well, as far as speaking about whether or not someone's impaired, we need to test for the impairment, not for the possible cause of impairment. I always think about, you know, how many times people might be driving and they're severely drowsy, you know, haven't had enough sleep, or maybe
absolutely.
Have an injury.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, it's actually how you're driving that counts, you know, and it shouldn't take a genius to train law enforcement to pull people over if they're weaving down the highway. And it doesn't matter whether they're, you know, Puritans and haven't had anything to impair them, and they just don't know how to drive, they should be taken off the road.
Well, there's certainly plenty of those on my freeways up here in Portland, Oregon area. I can attest to that. Now, final thing here I'd like to wonder about is if someone is in a situation, either employment or driving, I understand that the laws are going to vary from state to state, but just generally, what are a person's rights with regard to either refusing a blood test or alcohol test, or asking for an alternate means of testing impairment?
Well, I'm going to have to duck that question because the laws really do vary from state to state. And I live in Louisiana, and I can tell you that in Louisiana you can refuse to take the test for alcohol while you're driving. And that doesn't prove that you're driving impaired, but the penalty is that you lose your license for a period of time if you refuse to take the test. But that's the only penalty. That doesn't prove your guilt. But the laws really do vary from state to state, and I couldn't really speak to other states.
Okay, well, then we encourage everyone to check with your local attorneys and find out the state laws in your state regarding what the penalties are, or whether or not you even have the right to refuse urine testing or blood testing.
And let me emphasize, too, I mean, I'm an old guy who remembers the 70s and the 60s where, you know, people smoked joints in their automobiles on the way to the movie theater all the time, or to the concert or whatever. But it's not advisable for anybody to smoke a joint or to drink a whole lot or to use any kind of a drug when they just get behind a wheel. And there's another one. It always gets me when we watch television and they are constantly promoting drugs on television. They're trying to warn you against a four-hour erection, and they sell sleeping pills and such as Ambien. And they always say, do not be careful driving a car when using Ambien. And it seems to me that if you're going to take a sleeping pill, that's because you're going to sleep. And it's not that you should be careful driving a motor vehicle when you take a sleeping pill. You shouldn't drive a motor vehicle when you take a sleeping pill. And up to this point in this conversation, you and I have ignored the fact that there are all these totally legal medical drugs that are prescribed to people every day, and they're not really told, don't take a Valium and get in your automobile. Don't take an antidepressant unless the dose is regulated and you know what's going on, and drive. And there's all kinds of drugs that are prescribed every day, and I've never had a physician tell me, don't get in your automobile and drive after you take this pill, but they hand them out.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I listen to the fine print, so to speak, when they get to the end of those ads and they're discussing all the side effects. And
exactly.
One of the terms I hear them say a lot is, until you're aware of how you'll be affected under this prescription, don't operate heavy machinery.
Exactly. Well, if you're taking a sleeping pill, you hopefully are anticipating going to sleep.
And hopefully not on the road.
You shouldn't operate anything.
That's right.
I'm not
definitely.
Sure you should use an electric toothbrush under those circumstances.
Perhaps not. Who knows where you'll find it the next morning.
That's right.
Well, we've been speaking with Bill Rittenberg from New Orleans, Louisiana, who's a civil rights attorney and a charter member of the Normal Legal Committee and an expert on drug testing. Thank you for spending some time with us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
It's been a lot of fun, Russ.
All right. Talk to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our policy analyst is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you with today's cannabis quote from Larry Hagman, the actor who used to play J.R. on Dallas. Quote, "I was down in Acapulco and Jack Nicholson said, 'You're drinking too much.' And he was right. So he said, 'Smoke this stuff.' And I did. And it opened me up to a lot of things, too. It's a calming drug. It's not a drug. It's an herb. When you come right down to it, alcohol destroys your body and makes you do violent things. With grass, you sit back and enjoy life." End quote. Couldn't agree more, Larry. This is the Daily Audio Stash. I'm Radical Russ. See you tomorrow.